Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Amber Ayers, our editor and producer of Dementia Untangled, and we're going to be discussing season 7. I just have to take a minute to reflect on what we've done with Dementia Untangled. I can't believe that we find ourselves at the end of 7 seasons, which with our 2 bonus episodes that we offered means we have recorded and offered 72 discussions untangling dementia. And when I reflect on our history, I think back to when we first launched this podcast and back at the beginning of the pandemic, where we were trying to figure out how best to reach caregivers and family members who were quarantined and feeling isolated. And we actually started with Happy Half Hour, which was a kind of similar, but we weren't getting the traction that we were hoping with it. And so we quickly transitioned that project into what we now have as Dementia Untangled. When I think of 72 episodes, 72 guests, 72 conversations, when we share this with colleagues and other community members, I feel like the comment I hear most often is, how do you keep coming up with new topics? And I just feel like, how could we run out? There is so much to talk about and so much to learn. I'm just so grateful to have these conversations, to learn from these incredible experts, and to be able to share them with you, our listeners.
Heather, I love your reflections. And thinking back to Happy Half Hour, it just brings a big smile to my face because, like you said, it was in the middle of the pandemic. And one of the beautiful things about that is that the people that did come loved it, but we had it live and it was virtual and it was at a time that worked for us, but it didn't work for all of our listeners. And now with this podcast, we just thank you, all of our listeners, for joining us on this journey with Dementia Untangled. And I love it that our listeners can listen anytime that they want to, that all of you can listen when it's convenient for you and helpful for you. And we are so grateful that you have joined us on Dementia Untangled. And I just can't believe we've done 72 episodes. You know, the stories that were shared this season were deeply moving. They were insightful and so inspirational. And the first one that comes to my mind is, I think of Nicole Bell and how she shared her story. And she encouraged others on the caregiving journey to give yourself grace and ask for help. And she also provided a great example on how to be an advocate during the diagnosis journey. And then I think about Dr. Christine Belden and Dr. Parichita Chowdhury from Banner Sun Health Research Institute, and how they shared about the diagnosis process, the testing, and their focus on what a person living with dementia can do. And then to have Dr. Chowdhury share about how fortunate she feels to have the time to spend with families and people living with dementia while she's caring for them. And it was so interesting to hear her also say, be encouraged to be an advocate. And she addressed why the diagnosis process sometimes can be long and difficult.
And, you know, Janice, I think you and I have kind of a unique experience as we're conducting these conversations and driving them in different directions. But I always love these revisited episodes because we get to bring back Amber, our editor and producer, who probably listens to these episodes more than anyone else, because I think she brings a really unique perspective to these conversations. Welcome back, Amber. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, welcome back, Amber. And we just appreciate you so much. And you are so insightful and such an important part of our team. And as we are looking back, I'm just wondering, what were your overall thoughts about season 7, or even any reflections from when we first started with Happy Half Hour?
Hey, ladies, it's lucky number 7. Let's get into it, right? So much to talk about, so many things that we have learned from. And Heather, I'm so glad you brought up that story about how all of this got started, because it was a really challenging task for all of us. I mean, you had never hosted podcasts before. I had never made, edited, produced a podcast before either. And so we really wanted to take our time and make sure that we were delivering a program that was meeting the needs and expectations of our community. And I think we found so much more. So it's been really exciting the whole way. And to get back to season 7, I was really drawn into the unique abilities of our guests to be engaging storytellers. Nothing makes for a better conversation than someone who is genuinely connected to and passionate about their topic. Some of the things we talked about this season were things we may have already heard of or even discussed, but we really uncovered new angles and information just through our guests' individual approach or story. It reminds me of the exact community we're trying to reach.
I completely agree, Amber. The power of story cannot be overstated. I really think that the three of us are in a unique place at Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute, where we are surrounded by science, data, facts, and evidence, which is necessary when conducting revolutionary research or providing cutting-edge treatment. But what these numbers leave out is the human experience. Story is emotional, it's relatable, and not only does it connect with the listener, but there's power in sharing your story too. And you two know where I'm going to head with this. Whenever we go down this storytelling vein, I am immediately taken to our storytelling project, To Whom I May Concern, which brings together individuals living with early memory loss, captures their stories, and creates a script for a public reading. I am always struck by the transformation that happens at the final performance, not only by the audience members as they have their assumptions challenged, but more so by our storytellers. Over the course of those months that we get together, we get to witness them connect to their story and the stories of the other readers. They hone and harness their stories and find the confidence then to share them publicly. Stories are powerful. They are connecting, they're relatable, and they are memorable. And so I'm so glad that we were able to showcase these incredible storytellers throughout season 7. So let's play on this theme a little bit and take a little bit different tack with this revisited episode for season 7. And I have three questions that are a little bit more personal than usual. First, I want to hear about an episode that surprised you. Second, one that you really felt connected with. And third, one thing that you're going to take away from season 7. So, Amber, you're up. Let's start with you. What was one that surprised you this season?
I think I was genuinely surprised by our conversation with Dr. Joyce Lee Iannotti about sleep for wellness. I think it's obvious that quality sleep is helpful to repair and rejuvenate our bodies. I mean, we've all had a late night that felt like it took days to recover from. But her tips for sleep hygiene, which is also a term I had never even heard before, have really helped me personally. I am really renewed by these conversations we have encouraging brain health and prevention of dementia.
Yes, that was a great episode. And I liked how she called this sleep hygiene even sleep boot camp.
And Dr. Lee Iannotti also shared her personal story, discovering that she was living with sleep apnea. She talked about the process of seeking a diagnosis, getting comfortable with treatment, and ultimately how many symptoms have been alleviated because it is now being managed.
Heather, you are so right. I am so thankful that she shared her own story. And it's great when our physicians really can relate with us and relate with their patients as they're going through the different journeys that they're on. It was just wonderful to hear her talk about sleep and how important it is, and how she has been benefiting from really getting the treatment herself. So, the one thing that really surprised me this season was when we talked to Dr. Jennifer Stelter about non-pharmacological approaches for care and olfactory stimulation. Heather, you opened up this episode by sharing how the sense of smell is 10,000 times more powerful than other senses. This was so surprising to me. 10,000 times. I didn't remember learning that when I learned about the senses. And then Dr. Stelter went on and shared approaches and how essential oils can work within seconds, and they can help people connect and feel safe with caregivers when they like the scent. And she shared a study where they use scents to indicate what is next throughout the day for people living with dementia. Like they used peppermint to help people wake up in the morning, and orange to help create an appetite, and lavender for focus and rest when it was downtime, and how that approach worked so very well.
I was so excited when you guys asked her about just where to start with the essential oils because there are so many different paths you can go down. And when she started talking about lavender for calm and relaxation, I immediately thought, I bet this would work for my toddler when she's having a tough time, or kind of having a tantrum or having big feelings, whatever you want to call it. And I immediately got on Amazon and ordered some, and it has been an amazingly helpful tool. And I'm so grateful we had that conversation because even though we're generally speaking to the dementia community, there are so many of these ways that we help manage behaviors that can be used in just a myriad of ways.
If you think that lavender works great for your little person when they're having big feelings, just try it at nighttime. I've started using lavender with my little person, and he is out in a heartbeat when I use the lavender essential oils. What I like about using these sensory interventions is that it's taking us away from using language. And as you were saying, Amber, when you're using this with your little person and she's having a tough time, she's not able to articulate what's going on. So let's jump in with a sensory intervention. And we talk about this for people with dementia too. Language is so complicated. Being able to understand and then articulate what your experience is and understand what someone's trying to communicate with you especially at a time of heightened emotions, can be really challenging. And so I love when we have these little tips or tricks that could jump in and within seconds provide that soothing emotional experience for that person.
What a powerful tool that can be used in so many different ways. But it's really wonderful that this is something that we can use as well. What about you, Heather? What is one thing that surprised you this season?
One discussion that really stood out to me was with Dr. Christine Belden when we talked about compensatory strategies. And it wasn't necessarily the discussion around compensatory strategies that surprised me, but when we navigated a little bit away from that and we started talking about strategies to not just maintain, but improve cognition. And I kind of prefaced this discussion with the idea of, you know, how sometimes interventions are not something that we look forward to. You know, if we get prescribed doing a certain exercise, if we don't go into it with the right attitude or the right perspective, you know, that can, you know, be a great experience for us, or it also could be a really miserable experience for us. And she gave some strategies. She discussed how to best stretch your brain. And she said, don't do something that you're not interested in or that is so difficult that the level of frustration is so great that you cancel out any benefit. She said, don't jump into the most complex form. Start as a beginner. And I think I personally do this. I jump to the end product when I'm starting something new. And I don't think about the baby steps that need to happen to help me be successful at it. And she talked about starting at the beginning. Starting as a beginner, you build a frustration tolerance when you're learning something new.
I think it's easy to imagine the end result. And what makes the most sense is, well, the more I do it, the harder I go, the more I jump in, the faster it's going to happen. And we reach that level of frustration so much quicker. I mean, I think it's happened, you know, it happens in exercise, it happens in diet, it happens in any kind of lifestyle change that you're trying to make. And what a good reminder to just take it slow, make small changes, and, you know, eventually you'll adapt and it'll be the new norm.
And I love learning things like frustration tolerance. And to keep that in mind when we're learning something new, to remind us to keep starting small. Amber, you mentioned exercise, and you know, sometimes somebody might want to run a marathon, and if they run too far too fast, they're not only going to be frustrated, but they're going to be hurt as well. And I think when improving our cognition, to keep that in mind, that we're just overwhelming ourselves and the person living with dementia when we try to learn something so fast.
So let's talk about the episodes that we connected with. I'm going to jump in and just say, I really personally connected with our episode about creating opportunities for engagement with Missy Paskey-Wood. I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but I can sometimes be too attached to my phone or the TV and hours will pass by. I need help being more present, creating more opportunities for engagement, learning, and bonding with my family and friends. The social aspect of brain health can sometimes be tough for people. And let's face it, the only thing you can't make more of is time. So listening to her reminded me of all the opportunities I was missing to create memories and be a more active participant in life.
Amber, you just created a picture in my mind. Maybe you have seen that meme of people who are at like an important event. They're at a concert or something like that, and there'll be a whole crowd of people holding up their cell phones and recording the event and not really taking part of it. So what an important reminder to put the cell phone down and be present. There's probably plenty of other people recording the moment. Janice, what was one moment that you connected with this season?
The episode on Down syndrome and Alzheimer's disease with Dr. Peter Bulova, professor of medicine and director at the University of Pittsburgh Adult Down Syndrome Center, was so personal to me because my sister has Down syndrome. And he shared that in his 20 years of caring for people with Down syndrome, that he has found that dementia is the most significant issue that they face as adults. And from our short time with him, I sensed his caring and compassionate approach to providing diagnosis and support to people who have Down syndrome and their families to be outstanding. And then when he explained the connection between dementia and Down syndrome and the revolutionary research they are doing in this area, it was so captivating. But most importantly to me, what I really connected with was how he said, "I am a better person because of the time I have taking care of people with Down syndrome." It was such a gift to have him on the podcast.
Dr. Bulova definitely shared his heart with us in that conversation. And, you know, another thing that I took from that, actually from Dr. Bulova and from Nicole Bell's episode, really reminded me of the importance of advocating for the person that you care about. Unfortunately, Nicole's story is not uncommon, though the ultimate diagnosis of Lyme disease is relatively uncommon. The difficulty obtaining an accurate diagnosis is a story we hear often. However, with Dr. Bulova, we swung the exact opposite direction. I'm still so surprised in his discussion about the overdiagnosis of Alzheimer's disease in people living with Down syndrome. Both of these conversations are important reminders of advocacy. If you're not getting answers, or you're not getting answers that make sense, you have to keep asking questions.
This just goes back to how often we talk about this stigma around discussing mental health, and dementia falls into that category. And hearing people share their stories, and how even in Nicole's case, her having that conversation with the family member is what ultimately led her to get the answers that she needed. And I think this goes along with sharing your diagnosis, asking for help, staying social. All of these things are connected. And when we try to hide these things that are going on in our life or these parts of us with people that care about us, it only really ends up being detrimental.
It's so true, Amber. And Nicole was such an incredible example of that. And when she asked for help, she finally got the answer that she was searching for. It was a powerful story. And Heather, I know this whole season, it was so incredible, but what was one episode that you really connected with that was meaningful for you?
Probably the episode that I connected with the most was our first conversation of season 7 with Mary Frances O'Connor and her book, The Grieving Brain, The Surprising Science of How We Learn from Love and Loss, which details the extensive research she's done into how we grieve. I especially appreciated her conversation about the connection that happens between two people. She talked about how she learned from actually animal neuroscience and voles. She talked about how voles will pair bond for life. And research has actually found in voles that epigenetic changes occur in the brain because of the way proteins are folded around your genes. And she says, because I love you and you love me, your brain actually encodes that you are a we. You're no longer you and me. And so when you lose that person, it's like losing part of yourself. This discussion forced me to revisit my grief journey and helped me become more understanding of it and give myself a little grace for that experience. I think Mary Frances was such a delightful guest to have because she had a way of, while she was definitely poking nerves, she also provided the salve for it.
I love that conversation too. And what I found so interesting is when she, you know, she was talking about these stages of grief that we're all so familiar with and how it's kind of become this playbook, and it's not. Everybody processes things differently and at different times. And to hold yourself to a certain standard of how you are supposed to feel in a certain situation or an expectation of how you're supposed to process those feelings, it was so refreshing to hear her say that, you know, it's a little outdated and it's just not quite true.
Listening to her was definitely refreshing, and to have a discussion with her and to get to ask her questions and to hear her perspective, it was so insightful. And it's so interesting to me how these episodes are so intertwined with one another. I was thinking about how even when you talked about the voles and that research that they found, the I love you and you love me, it's a quote that I shared that my sister actually said when she was interviewed on TV about winning in Special Olympics. And how did she win in Special Olympics when she was a swimmer? And how did she get her medal? And she said, I love you, you love me. That's how we win. And I think that when we have these episodes and they are for people who are living through this journey as caregivers and people who are living with dementia to support our listeners on this journey, it's so interesting how they are also very personal to us as well. Okay, Amber, it's your turn. The next thing that Heather asked is, what is one thing that you took away from this season? So you're up first.
This is a really good question because I could go down so many different paths with it. But what I really took away from this season was a feeling of appreciation for everyone's unique experiences and what they do in the face of adversity. I grew up playing a lot of sports, and even though it was hard, I realized I learned more from losing than winning. And not to say anyone's adversity is equivalent to a loss of a game, but it's when times are difficult that we have the chance to take a path that just may lead us toward a future we never knew was possible. So many of our guests have taken their own personal experiences with loss or dementia or even a potentially fatal illness and decided to share their story or commit to research or even write a book to help others on their journey. And it's truly inspiring.
It's so inspiring. And Amber, I really like what you said. It's so insightful that sometimes we do learn more from losing than we do from winning. I think that one thing that I took away from this season is the impact of compassionate, committed, and caring clinicians and the incredible difference they make in the lives of patients and families like mine, with their outstanding patient care, like Dr. Belova and Dr. Chowdhury and Dr. Belden and Dr. Lee Iannotti, just a few, for example. And another one was the fascinating research from Dr. Craig Weinkauf, who is a vascular surgeon and a doctor of immunology, and his team, and the episode that he shared with us about the effects of carotid artery disease and what effects it has on brain health, and how they're researching how blood supply affects the brain. He also surprised me with one more thing, you guys. He surprised me when he said that the brain has no pain fibers. I had never thought about that before. When our leg hurts, we know it. But deep inside of our brain, it doesn't have pain fibers. So fascinating. But the other thing that he said was something that I will take away as another reminder. We've heard it so many times. Exercise is absolutely critical to our brain health.
But only if it's fun.
Right, Heather.
Let's tie all of our episodes together again. And, you know, I think when I reflect on this season, I keep going back to this idea of story. And it was a reminder of the importance of story. The act of recording your story, whether you take a moment to journal or write a few things each evening that you're grateful for, whether you just record your story for yourself or you share it with others, you hone that story. Our guests offered stories that were relatable and that gave voice to experiences or thoughts. And while everyone's story is unique, we can draw commonalities in these experiences, and it connects us with others. So I'm so grateful for the conversations that we had throughout season 7 and throughout all of our seasons on Dementia Untangled.
I think it's really interesting that you bring that up, because it's so easy to share now. We've got social media, we've got email, we've got text messaging, we've got phones that, you know, we can call long distance, and it's included in our plan. So the opportunities that we have to continue to communicate and share our stories are abundant. And you may think, you know, my story's not interesting. Nobody really wants to hear it. Everybody that I know already knows what's going on. But what about the people that don't know you? What about the people that haven't heard your story and could possibly relate, and it could help them on their journey? So think about the opportunities that you may have to affect circles outside of the one that you already know.
And speaking of your stories, we are so grateful for all of you, our listeners, and we would love to hear your story.
And for all of our listeners on Spotify, check out the new Q&A feature and share with us what you thought about the episode. If you listen on another platform, please leave us a review or email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.
I'm also grateful for you, Heather, and for you, Amber, and for the work that we get to do together, and for another great conversation. And thank you again to you, our listeners. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation and the next season on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at bannerhealth.com/Alzheimer's and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.